Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena.
Morena.
How are you?
I am good. I'm really good.
You were just saying you watched the end of Stranger Things last night and you're wrecked.
I know.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
I feel like you're not so high energy today.
Oh, got me in the feels.
Oh, Tess.
Get you.
You didn't get that straight after that, did you?
So we're going to the gay clubs of San Francisco and New York in the 1980s.
Oh, this is where you're taking us this morning.
Yes.
Sounds like fun.
I like the time idea of you taking us there.
And did you know that time is space? You know, because time is just the world revolving.
Oh my goodness,
you've been watching too much Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Really did, yeah. It messed up last night, didn't it?
Okay, well, if you think that blows your mind, wait till you hear this music.
I'm excited.
So disco was really orchestra music.
Wow, okay.
You know, it was big bands.
That
and a lot of them were Latin bands, and you think of the conga and the brass and this big... And because they're, like, in the beginning, there were discotheques.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even disco music. You know, like, you had to play other music before the disco music came out.
Yeah.
And then around the end of the 70s and early 80s, around the same time that orchestra disco was sort of too top heavy, you know, big bands and stuff. And synthesizers became more affordable. And didn't take up three rooms in your house. I mean, it still took a while before they became really personally affordable. But, you know, outside studios and unis, people could start to have them.
Yeah.
So you get this high-end RG, which is sort of a synthesized
disco. So that's for people at home, that's NRG, the letters.
High NRG. And it is named because of the energy. So what are you hitting?
Straight into it. I just want to give a pre-warning. This one's explicit.
A little bit explicit.
It is. We can talk over the explicit part.
I'm also just going to put it out there that I bloody love this song. I heard it in someone's boiler room set and I shazammed it. So I was like, this is fun. So I'm already a little bit on board with high energy.
And it's a piss take on Valley Girl.
I'll just say, it's Castro Boy by Danny Boy and the Serious Party Gods. I don't know, if that's not a
name. You can hear the sort of hook from Valley Girl.
Yeah.
For sure. I was a Valley Girl. I was from the Valley in LA. And I literally talk like that.
Literally talk like a Valley Girl.
So this is sort of the gay boy version.
So this has got the sort of like keyboard in your bedroom kind of.
Yes. So these early synthesizers had arpeggiators or sequencers where you could hold a chord or a couple of notes and it would play them over in a sequence faster or more steady than your fingers could. And so, of course, everybody wanted to play with that.
See, is this like, it's impossible to not like bob along to this.
Yeah, but I don't know, half an hour of this? It's
like
killer.
How rude. Oh, like fabulous. Castro Street is so hot. I mean, so many men, so little time. It's not pretty being easy. Girl, from the Badlands to Castro Station over to Moby Dick's, check out the New Wave Clones in Bear Hollow. It's to die for.
I'm getting the Valley Girl parody now.
Yeah.
I hadn't put those two things together when I first heard this.
So from Valley Girl, Frank Zappa just recorded his 14-year-old daughter talking.
Oh.
He was sort of so captivated by the weirdness of
the language
world.
And
And so, I this sort of parroting their own language, their own streets, their own types. You know, he's talking about different like types and who you see at clubs.
So how did this genre kind of hit the clubs, I guess? So it came out of disco, came through the keyboards and people's bedrooms and stuff.
Yeah, it was the gay clubs. So San Francisco and New York. And it's weird because disco's like actually a bit sort of swingy and funky and groovy and has a lot of funk. This does not. I guess because the sequencers... You know, everything was on time on your drum machine and your synth. And it's supposed to be not cool. It's supposed to be overstimulating.
Yeah.
You're supposed to work hard. You know, picture men with their shirts off. It's about euphoria and hype and just going. So it's sort of
high
quite
energy.
Different.
Yeah.
But it also is the sort of bridge between disco and house, because house isn't until the mid-80s. So this is sort of the
bridge.
Yeah.
I thought I saw it all, but what is this thing? I love this like crazy layered vocal thing that's going on here.
I know you're really into this, Rachel, but I think I'm gonna
you're gonna jump into a different one.
Swipe us into the next one.
I could listen to that song all day. What's the next one here, Tess?
The next one is Patrick Cowley. I want to take you home.
He's one of the icons.
That's when we were talking about this, you said to Amelia, was like, you have to play Patrick Cowley. So what was made him so iconic?
Well, these sounds as a producer, the electronic sounds, and he produced a lot of different bands. And then apparently he's a huge influence on like New Order and the Pet Shop Boys and Stock Aitken and Waterman and all this other music that came out.
I was going to say you can hear that Pet Shop Boys sound, that kind of, you know, West End Girls kind of vibe.
Okay, so the bass is an octave, just...
I like this genre doesn't really seem to take itself very seriously.
No, it's a party. It's
a party
music. But it actually was quite political, I guess, in
totally.
That, you know, gay spaces for gay people to be and to party and to
absolutely.
Be themselves and to put on their lipstick. Patrick Kelly died of AIDS, although it wasn't fully diagnosed because it was sort of in the early days when we weren't sure what it was. So, you know, that was all a really weird, sad period for the gay community as well.
The personal's political, etc.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bass.
This is great. This does make me want to go dancing now. You know?
You couldn't really, like, physically playing it. This is definitely keyboard bass.
Yeah. This is very much a very big Friday kind of mood, I think, you've brought up here this morning.
And for those of you music nerds, it's very four on the floor.
Four.
A lot of our music is like a one and two and two and four, but this is just bang, 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 bang. Yeah, it doesn't have, like, a lot of play and off beats or multiple rhythms. We still hear all sorts of music today that's still really influenced by this stuff.
Totally.
Like Finger Boys and stuff like that.
There's also, you know, you can hear kind of the Brunsky beat kind of thing and stuff coming in there. Although I guess they were a lot more serious. Their music was a bit more like...
But they definitely played with synthesizers like this.
So exactly.
It's one of those genres that is perhaps more influential than it was popular, if that makes sense.
Like I got you.
It influenced musicians.
Mm.
I don't know how many albums it ever sold.
Oh, this is... Bam, 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 bam. There's so
lasers.
The fanfare.
Boo, boo,
pew, pew. You can see the fog machine going off in the club and the lights all flashing.
Yep. That's what I mean. I get breathless just listening to it. Breathless and sweaty.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are all breathless and sweaty.
Oh, my God.
Well, have you been in a club where everybody's so sweaty and crowded and you're all, like, slick sliding up and down next to you? Oh, it's just a big slime fest.
A little bit of guitar.
Oh, God, that is...
It's something.
So, apparently EDM, right?
Yeah.
Gets its name from this. Because not all EDM is really dancey, is it?
No.
In some ways, it's less synthy now. It's very DJ-based and sample-based and stuff. It's this was the EDM. This was electronic dance music.
I see what you mean about very influential, more than maybe like widespread.
Yeah, I don't know how many like chart toppers it had or sales.
You got another one there, Tess?
Oh, I sure do.
What is this one you brought
this
us?
This is Don't Stop with by Sylvester. He's also iconic, I think.
Sylvester's iconic. So there's that bass again.
This is everything sounds a bit like, you know, space age.
Yeah.
Retro space age.
Yeah, it doesn't have any, it's not trying to be organic or
Someone said Patrick Cowley's remix of I Feel Love is the definitive version of that classic.
I can absolutely get behind that, I reckon.
Well, remixes is a big thing. You can apparently remix all sorts of songs, rock, whatever, into this.
High energy.
Yes.
Nice.
And I Feel Love, Giorgio Moroder, 1977, was sort of the birth of this.
The drums in all of these songs are pretty funny. They're very like...
Yeah. Boo. So Sylvester was an out gay man, which at that time was still not really done. I mean, you know, let's remember Elton John wasn't gay then, and George Michael. And they were super... gender fluid in their dressing. They, you know, sort of people calling it drag, but also another big performer in the genre is Divine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people know them. Look them up, or maybe wait till after lunch, but.
It's a lot, is it?
But it was quite celebratory of gay culture where a lot of other spaces weren't at this time. And for Sylvester to be out openly gay person in the music industry.
It's a huge thing, yeah. This has more sort of like maybe traditional disco flavors to it.
Yep, but electronic.
See? Electronically, yeah.
So Sylvester's known as the queen of disco. And I guess it also helped to remind that disco was gay.
Yeah.
Because at
that
time, a lot of people had learned disco from the Bee Gees and John Travolta. It had kind of de-gayed, defanged it. So it's kind of reclaiming it back to the community.
Totally. This is great. This is making me want to go out. I feel like this is setting everyone up for Good Friday now.
And Sylvester also died of AIDS. So, picture the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men, Neverending Story. You know, this is just hugely influential.
Totally.
So the UK and Euro picked it up.
I definitely feel like this is my personal favourite of the three.
I still love Castro Boy, but...
I love Sylvester. A lot of great hits, actually.
Yeah. They're all really good. This is the thing.
So
I
when
think.
Did this come out?
I have it written down. No, I don't. But I think around 77, 78. This was like the first couple albums. This... Oof.
That is some drums.
See, machines can do stuff humans can't do.
They really can. Hey, thank you for bringing us high energy today. What's coming up next week?
Oh, one of my faves.
Awesome.
Yes, Bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
Is it just called Bubblegum?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
Well, I hope you have a nice weekend.
Okay.
Dr. Kirsten Zemke bringing us high energy this morning on the 95 BFM Breakfast Show.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
We'll be back.